Of John chapter number 11. I have a lot of family here today, and then we have visitors, and we have Lucy May, first time she's been able to come to church. John Mark and Aaron's little baby, and so we're glad to see her today. And then Preacher Melvin and Sister Margaret's back, and we're glad to see them. They've been out with sickness. And if I went around, I'd fail to mention somebody, but it's good to see everybody here today. John chapter 11, we're going to read verses 17 down through verse number 26, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And so John chapter 11, verse number 17. The Bible said, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already," talking about Lazarus had died. "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Let's pray. Lord, as we come today, I want to thank you for all your blessings. And Lord, I want to pray and ask that you would just help in everything that's said and done today. We commit this time of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into your hands. I pray that the Spirit of God would move and work in our midst. Lord, we're thankful for today and what it means to us in our hearts, in our lives. We're thankful for your word. I pray, Lord, for great liberty to preach thy word. There's many things, Lord, that we're thinking about today. Help us just a little while, just to completely be able to focus on what the Bible says. May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Have your way. Do what you would like to do in the service today. We'll thank you for these things. We come and ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back into verse number 17, and we're going to start there today. And probably if you're a Bible reader, you know what is going on in John chapter number 11. The Bible said in verse 17, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." And so if we give this a little background of what's going on in chapter 11 here, we find Jesus, the disciples, they are entering into the town of Bethany. The Lord Jesus had some good friends here, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, a little family, their two sisters and their brother. And Jesus was friends with them. He had stayed with them. He was very close to them as a family. But Lazarus had been sick. And we read that several times in this chapter. In fact, that's how it starts off in verse number 1. "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Now, by the time the Lord Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus had already died. The funeral had already been conducted, and Lazarus had already been buried by the time the Lord arrived. Now, those of you that have experienced times of death in your family, you remember what it's like. It's not a pleasant thing to go through a death in your family. At first, you're probably shocked, even though somebody might have been sick. And even if you were expecting it, most of the time, you're shocked. And so you're surprised. You're surprised when you hear that somebody has passed away. And so you're shocked to begin with, and then there is a sadness comes in your heart. You know you'll never see them again in this life.
And then you have to kick it into just deal with it gear. And you know what that is. You just got to get through it the best that you can. And you have to deal with everything that comes up. And it's not long. People begin to come. Neighbors bring food. Friends stop by. Family begins to come from out of town or when they hear about it. And you have to, all these arrangements that have to be made, and a grave has to be dug, and you got to go to the funeral home and talk to them over there, and the obituary, and all of those things. And you know, a lot of that has not changed in all the history of mankind. Same thing is going on here. They'd had the funeral. Friends are coming by. People come. We read there in the verses to begin with that the Jews had come to comfort Mary and Martha. And so they still had friends around. They were still in a time of mourning. And people come by and they'll talk to you and they'll say, "How are you doing?" And you know what we say? "Well, pretty good. I'm doing all right. Considering what's going on, I'm doing pretty good." And so we know what it's like. Most of you know what it's like when death comes into our families. And then a few days after that, somebody will come by that you haven't talked to yet. Maybe a close friend, maybe somebody in the family, maybe somebody that was friends with you and your loved one. And they will come by, and when you see them, it just causes an emotion to well up inside of you, and you live through the whole thing again. You will begin to experience those same emotions over again. And you'll talk about what has just happened, and you'll talk about that, you know, the last time you seen them, and what they said, and what you talked about. You'll talk about how they died. You'll talk about how sick they were before they passed away. And so that whole thing is opened up again. Now, today is Easter. And we didn't come to talk about dying, but we come to talk about living. We come to talk about the one who gives life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you ever thought about this? You cannot talk about the resurrection without talking about dying first. Without somebody dying first, there'd be no such thing as a resurrection. You cannot have one without the other. Now, the resurrection is about the resurrection of the dead. And that is what we're dealing with here in John chapter number 11. And we'll see that in just a little bit. But up until the point that the Lord Jesus arrives upon the scene, all you have is sickness and death. And the first part of this chapter is taken up with sickness and then death. If you look in verse number 1, "Now a certain man was sick." You look in verse number 2, the last part of the verse says, "Whose brother Lazarus was sick." In verse number 3, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Look in verse number 6, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Then you look at verse 14, and there was some discussion about Jesus informed the disciples that they were going to go where Lazarus was. And Jesus said that he sleepeth, and they thought he was taking sleep in his sickness. But in verse number 14, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." And so he was sick. And then he died. Then in verse number 17, the Bible said, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." And so there's sickness, death in their midst until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And then look at verse number 25. "Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Until Jesus comes, all we've got is sickness and death. But when he comes, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now, I've preached out of John chapter number 11 many times before in the past. But there's something that I've never noticed before, and that's what I want to preach on today. Something the Lord showed me really just last night. I'd been thinking about this all week long and praying about it and thinking about Lazarus and Jesus and what was going on here. But I've never noticed this before, and this is what I'm preaching on today. The three resurrections in John chapter number 11. There are actually three resurrections in John chapter number 11. And it's very plain once you see it. But of all the times I've preached on it and all the times I've read over it, I've never seen it like this before. First of all, today, there is in verses 23 and 24, there is the prophesied resurrection. In verses 23 and 24, mainly verse 24, but we'll read verse 23. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. There is the prophesied resurrection. Martha said in verse number 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, I'm sure there's nobody here today that feels really comfortable when they go to the funeral home and when they walk through the line and when they speak to the family. Have you? I've had people ask me before, you know, I just don't know what to say. You ever experienced that? I mean, you certainly don't want to say the wrong thing. You want to say something like the verses are talking about in verse number 19. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. You'd like to say something comforting at least. You'd like to say something spiritual. You know, isn't it awkward when you come through and you say something like you talk about the weather or just because you just, it's awkward. It's awkward. What do you say to somebody that their brother, their mother, their father has just passed away? And we'd like to say something comforting. We would like to say something to encourage them in their time of sadness. And we want to find the right words. You know, a lot of times I'll go through and what do you say? I'll say, we've been praying for you. You know, that's something good to say. If somebody has been very sick leading up to their death and it's been a hard time on the family, you know, a lot of times we'll go through and we might say something like, you know, they're not sick anymore. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? They're not in the hospital. They're not in the nursing home. They're not dealing with cancer or whatever it is that they might have passed away from. We might say something along the lines of, you know, now they're reunited. They've gone to be with their mother, their father, their children that maybe have passed away. Maybe it's a spouse, and we can comfort them by saying, you know, they're reunited with their loved ones in heaven. Or we might say something like this, we know we'll see them again someday. If they were saved, and you're saved by the grace of God, you know, there'll be a glad reunion day one day. And so we might say, we know we'll see them in heaven again one day. And in my mind, that is the exchange that is going on between Martha and Jesus. Because look what he said to her in verse number 23. Now he's just come into town. And Martha goes out to meet the Lord Jesus. And upon meeting her, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Isn't that a good thing to say to somebody that's just lost a dear loved one? Thy brother will rise again. And Martha understands what the Lord Jesus is saying. And the Bible said in verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now the teaching of the resurrection of the dead was not something that was new to Martha. It was not something that Martha and Mary and all the Jews had never heard of before. They know the Bible. They know the Old Testament. And they know that the Bible teaches that the dead shall rise again. They knew about the resurrection at the last day. And so when Jesus said to Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again," she associated with that, with all that she knew about the resurrection of the dead. And that is why she said, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." It had been prophesied of for thousands of years. There were even in the Old Testament, there are instances where those who had died were risen from the dead. In the ministry of Elijah, in the ministry of Elisha. Do you remember over there when the little boy died in the Bible, and the woman came and she told Elisha about it, and he went down there to the house, and he went up into the upstairs, and he prayed over that boy and seven times, and that boy came to life again. They were not unfamiliar with the dead being brought back to life again. Do you know the first book in the Bible is the book of Genesis. But the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Do you know Job, being the oldest book in the Bible, talks about a resurrection of the dead? Job himself had hope of in the latter days, in the last day, that although he knew that he would die, he also knew that he would live again. That's a resurrection. I love this. Job says this. Job chapter 19, verse number 25. Listen to what Job said. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Now, they didn't know about Jesus like we know about Jesus, but they knew there was a Messiah coming. They knew there was a Savior coming. They knew there had to be a Redeemer that would come to this world and that would make a way for us to live again. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job knew there was coming a day when the Redeemer would stand upon the earth. And Job said, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job said, "I'm going to die and the worms are going to eat my body." You know, that's really a horrible thing to think about. But you know, that's what happens to us after we die. We will decay. We will decompose. The worms will eat our body. But Job said this, "Yet in my flesh shall I see God." Even though he knew he would die and the worms would eat his body and there'd be nothing left but bones, and after that there's not even any bones, he said, "I know in my flesh," that's this stuff we're clothed upon, he said, "I'll see God." Oh, Job believed in the resurrection of the dead. He said this, he said, "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." He's talking about his inward parts, his reins, his guts is what we would say. "Though I'm going to rot in the grave," he said, "I know that my eyes," you know, when you die, one of the first things to go is eyeballs. That's the soft flesh of our body. Job said, "I know with my own eyes and in my flesh, I'm going to see God." The Jewish people knew about the resurrection of the dead. They had heard about the resurrection of the dead all of their lives. They knew about the resurrection just like we know about the resurrection. Do you know we've heard about the resurrection of the dead all of our lives? When somebody we love who knows the Lord has passed away, many times we'll go out to the graveside and we'll say a few verses out of the Bible and we'll have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss at the cemetery. And many, many times I've read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See, we've heard this all of our lives, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." That means those who have died. He said that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You see, if somebody dies in the Lord, we have hope. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. What has happened to those, what is going to happen to those that die in faith? He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the resurrection. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul said the Lord's coming. His voice, there's going to be a trump. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. We'll never be separated from Him again. Then he said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Boy, that's comforting. That's comforting to know that we know that when death comes, it's not the final goodbye, but there is a glad reunion day going to come for the children of God. And so the Bible said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But you know, when somebody we love passes away, in the moment, that death is so real and it is so raw that it still hurts. Even though we know there is a prophesied resurrection, we know what the Word of God says, it seems at that point in time so very, very far away. You see what Martha said there in verse number 24. She said, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, that seems like a long, long ways away, doesn't it? Even to us here today, the other day, a couple of weeks ago, April the 5th, Kim said to me, she said, you know what tomorrow is? And I got to thinking about it. It was 21 years ago that our Hannah passed away. On her tombstone is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through verse number 18. Every time I mow the cemetery, I see that, and still yet today, it seems like that hope, it seems like, you know, that's been such a long time ago now. And it seems like it's still a far, far, and it may not be a long ways away, but in our human way of thinking, it seems like that's a long ways away. Job said thousands of years ago, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see Him in my flesh. I shall see Him with my eyes. That's been thousands of years ago. And Job has still not experienced that resurrection yet. I believe his spirit is in heaven with God, but Job doesn't have that new glorified body yet that he was talking about. He's not clothed in flesh like the flesh of the Lord Jesus when He got out of the grave, when He rose up out of the grave. That prophesied resurrection seems like a long ways away sometimes, and that's what Martha was talking about. You know, I can sort of think in my mind that maybe she said, Lord, I appreciate You coming by, and I know what You're saying. I know I'll see Him again. I know I'll see Him again in the resurrection at the last day. But you know, my heart's still heavy, and I've lost my brother. And Lord, if You'd have been here, my brother had not died. There's a prophesied resurrection. We're all familiar with that this morning. But second of all, let's look on down. Look at verse number 25. There is the person of the resurrection. Now, the Bible said in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, in verse number 23, let's back up just a little bit. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Do you know, he meant one thing. I believe the Lord had one thing in his mind. Thy brother shall rise again in a few minutes. Amen. She had another thing in her mind. She said, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day. She had a whole nother thing in her mind. She had in her mind, yeah, out there in the future somewhere, I'll see him again. But the Lord said, thy brother shall rise again. He meant in a few minutes. She said, I know I'll see him again at the last day. I know I'll see him again there at the last day in verse number 24. And so then he said unto her in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, Martha, she knew about Job. She knew about that. She knew about in 2 Kings chapter number 13 when a man had died and the enemy was coming and they were in a hurry to bury this man, and they let that man down into Elisha's sepulcher, and as soon as that man touched Elisha's bones, he revived. She knew that. She learned it in Saturday school growing up. See, Jews don't have Sunday school. They'd had Saturday school. Sabbath. She knew about all that. She knew about all these stories. She knew about the resurrection of these Old Testament saints. No doubt she knew about that the Lord Jesus had already resurrected two people from the dead. Two people. The Lord had already, in Mark chapter number 5, Jairus' daughter, she had been dead only a short time, and the Lord Jesus went in and raised that little girl from the dead and presented her back to her parents. What a glad reunion day that was. She knew about that. Surely she knew about that. She already knew that in Luke chapter number 7, we read over there about the widow of Nain, and her son had died and they were carrying him out of town. They were in the funeral procession, and the man was on the funeral bier. They were carrying him out on their shoulders, and the Lord Jesus went over and touched him. That man was resurrected from the dead. Surely Martha knew about that. Mary knew about that. But when death comes in our own families, in our own lives, we think to ourselves how final that is. You know, it's hard if you've ever walked in where your loved one has passed away and look at them. It's hard to think about the resurrection at that time. And it certainly does not enter our minds that they could be brought back to life again, especially after 4 days. Lazarus had been dead 4 days already in verse number 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Corruption had already set in. You know, the little girl, Jairus' daughter, in Mark chapter number 5, she had only been dead just a very short time. The man in Luke chapter number 7 had only been dead 1 to 3 days. They hadn't buried him yet. They were just carrying him out. But Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He had already been buried. Jesus said, take away the stone, and they protested. They said, you sure you won't do that? By now he stinketh. Corruption has set in. There's no hope. Why do that? Why take away the stone? Why go through all the pain of opening the grave up again? But what they had not realized, when the resurrection is in your midst, Jesus didn't say, I know something about the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. When the resurrection and the life is in your midst, it doesn't matter 4 days, 4 hours, 4,000 years. It's all a possibility. All resurrections depend on Him. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection. That's what's so great about it. So that's no problem to him that Lazarus has been dead 4 days already. When you are the resurrection and the life, even your own death is not the end. The Lord Jesus realized that. There's never any question in his mind that when he died on the cross and he laid down his life for our sins, that he would be getting up out of the grave 3 days later. How could he be so confident? Because he is the resurrection and the life. Look back in John chapter number 10, what the Bible said back there, what Jesus said one chapter back. John chapter number 10, verse number 17. And the Lord has been telling the disciples that he's going to the cross. That he's going to the cross, that they're going to kill him, but he'll rise again the third day. He told them over and over and over again. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 17, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He's the resurrection and the life. He could lay his life down. He could raise himself up. That I might take it again. Look at verse 18. Jesus said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He is the resurrection. He wasn't just resurrected. He is the resurrection. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. No man taketh it from me. He did that of his own free will. I was reading yesterday in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And that's a great chapter in the Bible about the resurrection of the dead. And Paul makes the case over there, if there be no resurrection of the dead. You know, if there's no resurrection, we just might as well go home today. We might as well go home and eat and sleep and live however you want to, because nothing else matters. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. He said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, and I'm paraphrasing some of this, he said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then our faith is in vain. Everything we believe today doesn't amount to anything. You might as well believe in the Easter Bunny, that he will save you, because if there be no resurrection of the dead, our faith, everything we believe, is in vain. It's empty. It's not worth anything. He said, our faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then none of us are going to heaven. And we're not saved. We're just as lost can be. That's what he was saying. Our faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Our loved ones that have died in the Lord, believing in the Lord, they are perished. We'll never see them again, is what he was saying. And then he said, and we are of all men most miserable. Why would we of all men and women and boys and girls be most miserable? Because everything we believe would be a lie. But I really love what verse 20 says. Paul says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, he's making that argument to make us think about this. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope for none of us. But then he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You know what the first fruits are? The first fruits was in the Old Testament under the Jewish economy. It was one of their holidays, you might say, like the Passover and the Day of Atonement and all of that. There's the Feast of First Fruits. And they would go out when the very first fruit appeared. And they would find that sort of like when you go out in the summertime and you get your first tomato. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, you've been watching it for days and you say, about Wednesday, it's going to be exactly right. No more grocery store tomatoes. You're wasting your money. You can pick it when it's perfect. Not green, but it's ripe and ready, and you get that first one. That's the first fruit. And you know what that is? That is a promise. Praise the Lord, there's more where that come from. That's just the first one. The Lord Jesus became the first fruits. He was the first one that was resurrected from the dead that never had to die again. Poor old Lazarus had to die again. That little boy that Elisha resurrected from the dead, he had to die again. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he got up out of the grave, he never died again, and he never will. Amen. That's first fruits. That's first one. Guess what? There's more where that come from. Amen. That's a promise. That's why it's great for us. That's a promise. It's going to be more. It's going to be a lot more one day. And then after a while, you get so many tomatoes, you don't know what to do with them. Praise the Lord. Can them, make spaghetti sauce, make tomato juice, give them all away. You're up to your eyeballs in tomatoes. That's the first fruits. That's a promise. But that first one's special. I always say this about cucumbers. Cucumbers are God's promise that there's a tomato sandwich on the way. Praise the Lord. I like cucumbers. But I'd a whole lot rather have a tomato sandwich. Amen. That's the first fruits. When you see those things coming on, hey, it's not going to be long. We're going to have a whole lot more. The Lord Jesus, He's the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. It's because He lives. It's because He lives that we can face tomorrow, that we can go on in this life. And Jesus said in verse number 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's the question right there. You believe that? That's so important. Believest thou this? He asked her. He is the resurrection and the life. And number three, last of all, what you're probably most familiar with, there is the performed resurrection. Now, let's go on down in this passage of Scripture. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out to the graveside. And that's what the Lord wanted to do next. He said in verse number 34 and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. We're going to take a little trip. We're going to walk just a few steps. We're going to go down to the cemetery. That's where Lazarus was buried. And the Lord, when he came, he wanted to see where Lazarus was buried. Let's go out to the cemetery. Have you ever done that with somebody? What is there about that? Why is that? Why does that help us some way? Let's go down to the cemetery. We'll go down and see where he was buried. We'll go down there and we'll put some flowers and we'll remember and we'll think about Lazarus when we get down there. He said, where have you laid him? Let's go down to the cemetery. But see, he had one thing in mind. She had something else in mind. He said, thy brother shall rise again. She said, I know, way out there somewhere, I'll see him again, but that's not what the Lord had in mind. And so we go down to the cemetery and we get down there and it's an upsetting time. A death is always hard on all of us. And the Bible said in verse number 35 that Jesus had wept. This bothered him as well as it bothered the rest of them. Death is a reality in our lives. But it said in verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. The Lord was upset about it. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And that's the way they buried in those days. Verse 39, the Bible said, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. I am the resurrection and the life. Let's go down to the cemetery. I want to see where you laid him at. Oh, what a beautiful picture we have here in these verses. What a glad reunion that is. Can you imagine Martha and Mary and seeing that stone taken away and Lazarus getting up out of that grave? They had put him in there thinking, I'll never see him again until the resurrection at the last day. And here just 4 days later, man, what a glad reunion. Do you know what that's a picture of? That is a picture of the rapture of the church. Because one of these days, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, at His command, the living and the dead are going to be brought back together. Not everybody's going to have to die. Praise the Lord. There we see, the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth, and here he come. And the living and the dead were reunited in his presence. Isn't that a pretty picture? Isn't that beautiful to think about what the Lord is able to do? Lazarus was physically dead. There's no question about that. Everybody that was involved in this, the Jews knew that he was dead. And Martha and Mary knew that he was dead. He was physically dead and he was physically raised from the dead. Verse 43, last part of the verse. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. I love that. Was dead, past tense, came forth. What a glad reunion that was. But Lazarus is also a picture for us today. He is a picture of the natural man. He is a picture of the man that is lost, that is dead in their sins. That's what Lazarus is a picture of. He's a picture of the unsaved. He's a picture of all of humanity is what Lazarus is a picture of. Before you were saved, before you were born again into the family of God, the Bible says that you were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, that's what the Bible says. And you hath he quickened. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus and he said, and you hath he quickened, which means to make alive again, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Lazarus was dead, and there's no such thing as being a little dead. And a lost person, there's no such thing as being a little lost. Lost is lost. Lost is condemned. Lost is, if you die like that, you'll die and go to hell. And that's it. Dead is dead. A lost person cannot help themselves. A lost person cannot think. A lost person cannot pray. A lost person has no consciousness, no life, no hearing, no thinking, no consciousness. If you are here and lost today, you will never figure it out. There's people all around the world trying to figure it out, trying to understand. I was studying this morning, and on my desk at home where I study, I have, and I had never really noticed this before, but I've got a Rubik's Cube unsolved. And I'll pick it up every once in a while. And I think I know how it works, but I never can get it. I know some can. But a lot of people, that's how they try to figure out salvation. They pick it up every once in a while and they think about it and they put it down again. But and you can figure out a Rubik's Cube, but you can't figure out salvation because you're dead. You'll never figure it out. I've got on my desk one of those things when you go to Cracker Barrel and eat and it's got the golf tees in it. And if you leave three or more, you're an ignoramus. You ever read that and tried to figure that out? I bought one time so I could have the answer, so I wouldn't be ignoramus anymore. I can solve one of those if I can remember. But salvation is not a puzzle for you to eventually figure out. A dead person could never figure out how to solve a Rubik's Cube. A dead person could never figure out how to solve anything else. And if you're dead in trespasses and sins, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. You'll never be good enough. You'll never work hard enough. Joining the church won't help you a bit. Being baptized, all that'll do is get you wet. And you'll go in a dry sinner and you'll come up a wet sinner, but you'll still be a sinner. There was nothing Lazarus could do to change his situation. He was dead. And before I got saved, I was dead. But you know, one glorious Sunday morning, I heard a voice from another world. What is salvation, preacher? You must respond to that voice. As soon as you hear that voice, you need to come forth. That is all that Lazarus did. And that was the gift of God. And that's what the Bible says salvation is. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lazarus couldn't brag about anything. When Lazarus got out of that grave and they took the grave clothes off and he had that happy reunion, they could have said, Lazarus, what did you do? Lazarus, what was it like? Lazarus didn't know nothing. He was dead. All he could say was, I was laying there, I was a dead man, and I heard this voice. And when I heard the voice, I said, I'll arise and go. That's all salvation is. It's just responding to the voice of the Holy Ghost of God that is calling and calling and wooing, and it's responding to that voice. I don't think even Lazarus said, I'll let the Lord get done with His message. I don't think he said, I'll wait till the closing prayer. I don't think he said, I'll wait till they sing that old song, just as I am without one plea. I believe when old Lazarus heard the voice, he got up. He got up. First time I ever saw anybody get saved when I was preaching. It was a little boy. And I was preaching out of John chapter number 14, what I preached last week. I was preaching about heaven. I was preaching about missing heaven, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I was preaching for my grandpa Cornett. And about two-thirds of the way through my message, this little boy messed up my whole sermon. He just jumped up out of his seat. And he come running down through there, and he hit that altar, and I didn't know what to do. Because I'd never experienced anything like that before. And that little boy got saved. Nobody was singing. Nobody was pleading. All he did was respond to that voice. It said, come forth. I want to save you. When I was a little boy and I got saved, and a lot of you might experience this, you might say, I can take you to the church. I can take you to the place. I can show you the spot where I got saved. And I could take you over to Brushy Fork, and I could get you to the spot where I knelt on the altar there, and somebody come prayed with me, and I got saved. But the more I've thought about it through the years, I think I actually got saved back there in the pew when the Lord spoke to my heart. And I believe when I took that first step, I believe the Lord saved me. Because I'd already believed. And that's all salvation is. Just believing upon the Lord Jesus. If you read John chapter 11, everything Jesus did, He told the disciples, and when He prayed, before he said, come forth, He said, Father, I'm saying it out loud, so all these might believe. They hear that I said it, they know that I said it, that they might believe. The Bible doesn't say, he that understandeth shall have eternal life. It's he that believeth. He that believeth. And Lazarus laying there in a cold, dark tomb. He heard, "Come forth." He believed. He got up. The Lord saved him. You say, "Preacher, how do you know all of these things are true? How do you know it's not just a fairy tale?" And you know, like Paul said, our faith is vain. How do you know, preacher? You've not seen the Lord. No, I've not. But there's an old song we sing, and I love it. It said, "You ask me how I know He lives. I know He lives because He lives within my heart." And that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as real to me as anybody else or anything else that is here today. I just know that He lives. It's reality. He come in, He changed me, He saved me. He's been nothing but good ever since. And since then I've understood some things. But when I got saved, I didn't know anything. I just knew I was lost. And I knew He's a Savior. And that's how simple it is. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.